The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.
Hi, this is Dan Farron for the California Classic Facebook page and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. Here with a breaking story about the passing of Ari Romero Sr., El Gato, a very charismatic luchador who died over the weekend at age 62 from complications of liver cancer. Ari had worked all over the place in Mexico, Southern California, Texas, and Japan. If you want to learn more about his all-encompassing career, there's a great obituary up at LuchaWorld.com by our friend Fredo Esparza. That's LuchaWorld.com. I suggest you go over there and take a look at it and learn a little bit more about Ari's life and times. Ari was a member of the California Classic Facebook page. We had exchanged notes from time to time during the past year. I always wanted to be able to sit down with him, and I had done an interview with him. Kurt Brown and I did an interview with him many years ago for a newsletter that we did on Lucha Libre, but I always wanted to sit down and talk to him more about his time with the LaBelle promotion in Southern California. So what I did was I called up in that old primitive device, a telephone, our friend Kurt Brown, and we kind of did it old school. And we talked a little bit about the life and times of Ari Romero. Kurt, first of all, with the passing of Ari, tell us a little bit about some of your memories of Ari Romero.
I remember first seeing Ari Romero in 1979 when toward the latter end of that year, when he came in as like a middle-level babyface, had a full head of hair at the time, believe it or not. Most people who remember him remember the bald-headed, bearded, wily, cat-like guy, hence the name El Gato. But no, he was an up-and-coming babyface, probably in his late 20s at the time, even though he looked a lot younger. And I think there's a match floating around where Coloso Colosetti puts him over at the Olympic, and it's one of those matches where you can tell Colosetti's really leading the match, and we're considered a big win for Ari Romero. And within just a few years, he transformed into one of the most charismatic rudos in Lucha Libre. And the next time I really got familiar with him was in 1989, on the day that I met both you and Mary Lou at the San Bernardino Arena for the wind taping.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan introduced us to him, because remember, we were all doing the Viva La Lucha newsletter at the time.
Right.
And we had seen him in several appearances before that, and just thought he is one of the coolest heels we had ever seen. One memory was in Tijuana when he was Negro Casas' second in a title match against Tornado Negro. That was the welterweight title that Benjamin Mora promoted. And anybody who knows Negro Casas knows what a trickster he is, what a clown he is. And the chemistry between him and Ari as his second in the corner was just hysterical. I mean, when Casas would be near the losing end, he would pout and point to the dressing room, telling Ari, I just want to go back to the dressing room. And Ari would smack his head like, what the hell are you thinking? And, Conan was always so cool that when we were doing the newsletter, man, he was always introducing us to whoever we wanted to talk to. And we met Ari, and you can need a nicer guy for an interview. Just a bunch of people putting just this little 2-bit newsletter, and he just gave us all the time we wanted. And every time we would run into him, he'd come up and give us big hugs. And occasionally when I talk to Conan, Conan says, oh, Ari wants me to tell all the boys hi and ask how you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about the California Classic page was that Ari was a member, and my feeling is always will be. I mean, I never, those guys always stay there. But I exchanged many different emails with him just found him to be, even though I had not seen him in many years, just to be the nicest, most considerate man you ever want to meet.
Definitely. And, another person who's very familiar with his career and was a huge fan of him is Fredo Esparza, who did a write-up on him on the Lucha World podcast. And a lot of Romero's work in Juarez, which was excellent stuff. I was lucky enough to get some taste from Conan and see some of the feud. I think it was the first time Conan was a heel, and Romero was part of that feud. And nothing a lot of people don't know about Romero was he probably loved music every bit as he did.
Yeah, he actually, he had a band, right, made up of wrestlers. Is that correct?
I didn't know that till today when I read that on Facebook somewhere. I love it. I guess Contero was one of the guys in the band. Another Gato. One thing I'll never forget, and I don't have it anywhere. I hope somebody still has it. I hope it exists. But when he was feuding with the Guerreros, he did this great, great piece where he's sitting there singing like this folk song about beating the hell out of the Guerreros all the time. And in the back are just clips of him just, hitting Eddie from behind. And the guy, he's a guy who probably not enough people will remember in hindsight. But, if we have any say in it, we'll try to make sure.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that feud he had with the Guerreros. I mean, that was one of the, that was one of the better feuds you could see going on at that time. I mean, the stuff they were doing was great. I also remember when we first saw him at the Wind tapings in San Bernardino for Red Bastine, he was teaming with Black Gorman, who was wearing a hood at that time, and they were a great tag team.
They were awesome, and I remember they were doing the spots with Conan where Conan would out-muscle the both of them when they tried to do each a double wrist lock on him.
Right.
Classic old-school spots, and it worked. It popped so much, and it was so funny because Gorman was friendly with us, but very kind of quiet and reserved, where Ari was just the trickster, just clowning around, just showing us a good time.
Well, you told me about running into him at Cauliflower Alley one time after a long period of time.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago. The cool thing about Cauliflower Alley is there's a lot of people you're excited to meet because you know they'll be there, but there's also a lot of people that you have no idea will be there, and you're like, whoa, this is a nice surprise. And that was the case in 2011. I think it was right after the banquet when everybody's just hanging around outside the banquet hall, and I look over and I'm going, is that who I think it is? And I went up to him and he says, hey, how you doing? To be honest, I don't know if he remembered me.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling.
but he at least pretended that he did, and he was super nice, and every third word was motherfucker, and you know me, I love anybody whose every third word is motherfucker. So.
There you go.
But no, he's every bit as nice as he was, years ago.
Yeah, and quick question for you. Maybe this is something more that would be a Fredo question or whatever. But in looking at some of the stuff online today in his passing, I was surprised to see him often listed as being trained by Lou Fez. Have you heard anything about that?
That's the first I've ever heard of it.
I'm not quite sure. Oftentimes, when they talk about people being trained by somebody, it means maybe they spent an afternoon or two with them or something. But
that
I saw that.
I mean, I do know that Fez lived in Mexico for a while when he was working with the UWA. I know Ari grew up in a town called Querétaro. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Yeah, I'm sure that's something.
A lot of people claim that Diablo Velasco trained them, even if they just took three lessons from them.
Everybody claims that Diablo Velasco trained them.
Yeah, it's hard to tell the truth from fiction because so many people went through Diablo Velasco
Exactly.
One of the greatest teachers ever.
But I do know that he spoke quite fondly of Gory Guerrero in the times that they did. Yeah.
I remember him saying Gory Guerrero was the one who brought out the heel in him because I can't remember the story exactly, but he was telling us that I think he was still a babyface in when Gory was promoting. Was Gory promoting Wars or in El Paso? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look again. Yeah, I forgot
that. I remember Conan said he had a promotion for a while, but some people kind of, would wink him out of some money and, said Gory was a really good wrestling mind, but some people took advantage of his good nature and stuff. But
yeah,
Ari was telling us that I he was a babyface, and he said, well, he just came up to him and said, like, it's not working, kid. You know why? And I remember, this is why I remember him saying so succinctly, you have a son of a bitch face. He said, you have a son of a bitch face, so you're going to be a Rudo.
I'd like to thank our friend Kurt Brown for taking a few moments to speak to us this afternoon about Ari Romero. And on behalf of the Wrestling Viewpoint Network and the California Classic Facebook page, we would like to extend our condolences to Ari's family and friends. For the Wrestling Viewpoint Network, this is Dan Farron.